Welcome to the Deep Dive. You're here because, well, like us, you want to really get a handle on interesting topics, and pretty quickly, too.
Exactly. Get straight to the good stuff.
Right. So today, we're unpacking cardamom, based on this great piece, the Flavor Notes newsletter, #5Cardamom.
Ah, cardamom. It's one of those spices that seems to be everywhere once you start looking.
It really is. Sweet, savory. It's got this huge history, global reach.
And the newsletter, it's from a chef's perspective, right? It's so grounded in flavor.
Precisely. So think of that as our guide. Our mission here is to pull out the most fascinating bits, the useful stuff about cardamom for you. A shortcut to understanding this amazing spice.
Sounds good. Where do we start? The beginning, I suppose.
Yeah, let's dive in. Where does the story of cardamom actually begin?
Well, its origins are deep, really deep. We're talking over 4,000 years back, native to the forests of southern India and Sri Lanka.
Wow, 4,000 years. And was it just used for cooking back then?
Oh, no, not at all. It was much more significant. The ancient Egyptians, for example, they used it in rituals, believe it or not.
Rituals.
Yeah, and even perfumes. Then you have the Greeks and Romans valuing it for medicine, for its aroma. Mm-hmm. It wasn't just about taste.
That's fascinating. So kind of a multi-purpose ingredient from the very start.
Absolutely. It tells you something about how they viewed these natural products, doesn't it?
It really does. Okay, so it starts in India and Sri Lanka.
Mm.
But it didn't stay local, did it?
No, definitely not. It spread far and wide, became a really prized thing across continents. You find it becoming a staple in Indian cuisine, obviously, but also Middle Eastern.
Okay, that makes sense.
And then, maybe surprisingly, Scandinavia.
Scandinavia. How did it end up there so early on? We'll probably get to that.
We will. But yeah, its value was huge. At one point, they were literally trading it for gold.
Trading it for gold, that really puts its status into perspective. Why was it so valuable? Just the taste.
Well, the taste was unique, certainly, that complex aroma.
Yeah.
But also, think about the journey.
Right, the trade routes back then.
Exactly. Getting spices from India or Sri Lanka all the way to, say, Rome or Egypt.
Mm-hmm.
It was difficult, expensive. Rarity and effort definitely played a huge part in that value.
Makes sense. It wasn't just sitting on a supermarket shelf.
Not quite.
Okay, so incredible history, high value. Let's get down to basics. What is cardamom? What are we actually talking about when we buy it?
Good question. You usually find it in a few forms. There are the small green pods that's often called true cardamom.
Right, the most common ones you see.
Yeah. Then you have black cardamom pods. They look different, bigger, darker, kind of ribbed. They come from different but related plants, mainly found in places like Nepal.
Okay, so green and black, not the same thing.
Nope, definitely distinct. Different species, actually, within the wider ginger family. Elateria for green, Amomum usually for black.
Got it. And then there's ground cardamom, too, of course.
Right. You can get both types ground, although ground green is much more common.
Okay, let's focus on the green then, the true cardamom.
Mm-hmm.
What's that taste and smell like? Describe it for us.
Oh, it's wonderfully complex. It's sweet, but also spicy, a bit citrusy, definitely aromatic. Some people get hints of mint, maybe even floral notes.
Mm-hmm.
And the aroma, it's intense. Really fragrant, exotic. You get these notes of eucalyptus camphor.
Mm-hmm.
It's very distinctive.
Eucalyptus and camphor, yeah, you can almost smell it just hearing that. So how does the black cardamom compare then? You said it's bolder.
Much bolder, yes,
yeah.
And smokier. It's got this deep, almost resinous or medicinal note sometimes. Because it's so intense, you tend to see it more in savory dishes, things that can handle that strong flavor.
Like stews or curries, maybe?
Exactly. Rich, savory things. Green cardamom is, you know, generally more versatile. It works beautifully in both sweet and savory cooking.
Right. That bridging capability is really interesting.
Yeah.
So let's talk about those uses. Where does it pop up? Let's start sweet.
Sweet side.
Mm-hmm.
Well, think chai, classic Indian tea. Cardamom is key there.
Oh, yeah, essential. And coffee, too, in some cultures.
Definitely. Middle Eastern coffee often features cardamom. Then pastries, puddings, fruit compotes. Poaching pears with cardamom is lovely.
Mm, that sounds good.
It can even lift a simple citrus salad. And going back to Scandinavia, those famous Christmas biscuits often heavily feature cardamom. It's a real signature flavor there.
I need to try those. Okay, now crossing over to savory. Where's cardamom working its magic there?
Well, curries, obviously. Add such an aromatic depth. Rice dishes, too. Biryanis. Pilafs.
A must in biryani, I'd say.
Absolutely. Also in Moroccan tagines, various stews. And it's a crucial component in big spice blends like garam masala or baharat.
So it's often part of a team, not just solo.
Very often, yes. Even in those Swedish baking spice mixes we mentioned, it's usually blended with cinnamon, cloves, that sort of thing.
It's amazing how wide-ranging it is. If someone's listening and wants to try using it more, what flavors work really well with cardamom? Any classic pairings?
Oh, loads. Rice, as we said, lamb is a great pairing. Citrus fruits, orange, lemon, they cut through the warmth beautifully.
Nice contrast.
Yeah. Apples, surprisingly good. Chocolate, too. Creamy things, cream itself. Yogurt, coffee, nuts. And other warm spices like cinnamon or nutmeg. Lots to play with.
Really versatile. Okay, beyond the taste, the newsletter mentioned other aspects like health benefits. Is there anything to that?
Well, traditionally, yes. For centuries, it's been used to help with digestion, soothe an upset stomach. That's very common traditional use.
Interesting.
And modern research is looking into potential antimicrobial and antioxidant properties, too. Still early days for some of that research, but the traditional use is long established.
So more than just flavor again. Any other sort of non-food uses?
Yeah. It's known for freshening breath, those strong aromatic oils you see.
Oh, makes sense.
And in traditional systems like Ayurveda or Chinese medicine, it pops up for treating things like colds, asthma, inflammation, a whole range of historical uses.
I read somewhere about people chewing the pod.
That's right, especially in India and Southeast Asia. After a meal, chewing a whole pod is quite common. It's seen as good for digestion and, yes, as a natural breath freshener.
Huh. Okay, we've covered history, types, uses. Now for the fun stuff. Any cool, surprising facts about cardamom?
Definitely. It's known as the queen of spices.
Oh, queen. Who's the king?
Black pepper.
Ah, okay. The queen of spices. Nice title.
It is. And growing it is tricky. It likes the shade in tropical rainforests. And harvesting is very labor-intensive, usually done by hand.
It explains why it can be pricey.
Exactly. And here's that Scandinavian ling again. It's thought the Vikings actually brought it there first through their trade routes.
The Vikings. That's wild.
Isn't it? And another twist, while it originated in South Asia, today, the biggest exporter, and often the source of the most expensive stuff, is actually Guatemala.
Guatemala. Wow. Okay. Global journey indeed.
One more in the Middle East. Offering coffee flavored with cardamom is a really significant sign of hospitality, a welcoming gesture.
Lovely little details. Now, for the home cooks listening, the chef in the newsletter had some practical tips, right?
Yes, some really useful ones. Tip one, gently crush the whole pods first, maybe with the flat side of a knife. It helps release the essential oils, more flavor.
Okay, bruise them a bit.
Exactly. For baking or desserts where texture matters, the tip was to just use the tiny black seeds inside and discard the tougher outer pod.
Right, avoid that woody bit.
Mm-hmm. And if you're making chai or maybe infusing cream for a custard, lightly toasting the whole pods in a dry pan first can really deepen the flavor, add complexity.
Toasting, good tip. I'll remember that. The newsletter also featured a specific recipe, didn't it? As an example.
It did. A cardamom spice rice pudding with orange zest.
Mmm. Sounds classic, but elevated.
Yeah, it was chosen to really show off that lovely interplay, the warm, comforting spice of the cardamom against the bright, fresh lift from the orange zest, a perfect showcase for its dessert potential.
Sounds delicious.
Yeah.
And finally, there's a quote included, wasn't there, to sort of sum up cardamom's appeal?
Yes, a really nice one. It said, "Cardamom is the whisper of a far-off land floral, warming and unforgettable in the hands of a thoughtful cook."
That captures it beautifully. Whisper of a far-off land. Okay, so let's quickly recap the essentials we've pulled out today.
Sure. We've looked at its ancient roots in India, its incredible journey becoming a global spice, even traded for gold.
We distinguished between the common green cardamom complex, aromatic, versatile, and the bolder, smokier black cardamom.
Explored its huge range in cooking, from chai and pastries to curries and biryanis, plus those traditional health uses and fun facts, like the Viking connection.
And got some practical tips for using it from the chef.
Right, hopefully giving you a solid, quick understanding of the queen of spices.
Exactly, a real deep dive shortcut.
Exactly.
So, maybe a final thought to leave you with.
Go on.
When you think about this one spice, cardamom, and how its journey connects India, the Middle East, Scandinavia, even Guatemala, over thousands of years.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't it make you wonder about the stories hidden in other everyday ingredients on your shelf? What other flavor journeys are just waiting to be explored?